Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Oh, before. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, dear.
Oh,
my goodness.
Wow.
It's a very bad.
Clusterfuck.
We need a chair, don't we? We need a chair to...
Literally what I was about to say. Who's the clerk? Who's the officer? And who's the chair? That is what we need to decide before we move on.
I wondered how long it would be before that came up. It turns out... No,
just got
to
get out of the way, haven't you? Just got to get out of the way.
Please, can I be Jackie Beaver, please? Oh, actually...
Jackie Beaver? Jackie Beaver. She's not, that's the porn version. They haven't done that yet. Jackie Beaver.
Jackie Beaver. Actually, I want to be Juliet's iPad. iPad.
Is it Alan who'd have to let back in as well?
Yeah.
Can someone let Alan back in? Of course it's Alan who's dropped out. If you don't know what we're talking about, then... Well, where have you been? Yeah, but it's there's been an online storm, hasn't there, around a Zoom local council meeting. What was it, the environmental planning department of somewhere?
Something like that, Handforth Parish Council, yeah.
And it's been all over the interweb. Yeah.
Anyway, there you go. We got out of the way. Done.
Done that.
Put that to bed.
Uh-huh. And what else? That's a good idea, actually. What else should we put to bed before we start the show? That is a great idea. Let's do that. Put some things to bed. Starting to be cold. Cold.
Yeah, it is cold. Just been out in the snow with the dog. He was confused at best.
Yes. Did he enjoy the first proper sort of snowfall last week?
I don't know, because I didn't have him last week.
Ah, right. Okay.
Because I have a shared custody arrangement with my dog, as you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't have custody in the original snow, so.
Right, okay.
Couldn't give a shit about the snow, and I can sort of verify that from today's experience.
Do you find yourself sort of competing as a shared parent thing with the dog, where you're, you know what I mean, like he comes to you for a weekend and you try and show him more love than the other parent, or do you just not give a shit?
Yeah, well, we were having a conversation last night about this, actually, on the popular social media platform.
Parlay.
WhatsApp.
Oh, WhatsApp, yeah.
Yeah, do you know it?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because I keep ordering like these dog chews and treats from like this place that does this is incredibly dull. I'm sorry if you don't have a dog, but you'd be quite interested in it, Tom, probably. Ooh. As a dog owner.
I am.
But, yeah, just like all good like natural chews apparently, and like, but it's all like parts of animals that, you know, like I give them a cow's ear with the hair on it and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Which is really good for them apparently. You know, it's like a natural worm and all of that. And I gave him last night, I've ordered a new thing to try, and it is a deer's leg.
Oh my.
What?
Like a deer. I'm going to send you a picture on the WhatsApp.
Don't say, look, Helen's a vegan. You'll make her physically
sick. Well, I mean, so is my sister, and you know, she, this is just like, dogs need meat, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all part of the sort of toss up, isn't it?
It's the great circle of life. But also, actually, I feel strangely a lot less weird about things like cow's ears and deer's feet, because that animal has been killed for meat, you know?
Yes.
So I agree. It's a bit like haggis, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But this is what I fed my dog yesterday. I can't tweet this out because it's so vile.
Wow. Oh, wow.
You got
it. It's loading.
Oh, my God. That it's Bambi's foot.
Oh, that's awful. Did he eat the whole thing? Did he eat the toenails and everything?
He ate most of it, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's really...
There's bits of bone left at the end.
That is a stark reminder, which I think that was a campaign a few years ago by Hugh Fearnley, Moral Thompson, or whatever his name is, to make us all be more conscious and aware of this meat that we're eating belongs to an animal.
Yeah.
And when you see a foot like that is, you know...
It's turning me more vegan, definitely, feeding him all this like disgusting animal parts.
And does that arrive in the post? How is that packaged? Bubble wrap?
No, just a little plastic pocket with four deer hooves in them. I'm reticent to call it a hoof because it is literally like knee down the whole leg, isn't it?
It's a shin. Yeah. Oh, God.
So furry.
Because I was going to sort of rant on about when we once gave Polly years ago a pig's ear, because you get the dried pig's ear and you don't realize.
I've got loads of those, yeah.
Yeah, well, you'll know all about this then. As they masticate the pig's ear, so they begin to rehydrate it. So they start with the sort of pot noodle scenario. Then in the action of rehydrating it, Helen, you end up with what sort of starts off looking like a plasticky toy pig's ear. Very much a pig's ear, but by the time they finish chewing it, it really brings it back to life and the blood starts to come back in
like
it.
Like a sort of defrosting process, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
That's awful.
But yeah, so anyway, to sum up, my ex, who I share the dog with, basically said, yes, you clearly love the dog more because I'm not giving him that.
Yeah,
if that's good for him, I refuse to give him one of those. I think it's going to be great. Basically, you'll know this. Mm. The bane of my life, not at the moment because we can't go outside, but taking a dog to the pub, it just gets restless, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just want to, for the first, like, and I gave him this deer's leg yesterday and it kept him going for an hour.
Yeah,
it
keeps him very happy, calm.
A whole hour, he'll just sit there and chew, and that's great news for Dave, having his Sunday pints.
If you could...
It's like an iPad for toddlers.
It is. It's a dog iPad.
It really is.
It is literally the pad of a deer. if you could, Bambi pad, if you could domesticate any animal.
Julius Bambi pad.
No. This is like a strange word association game now, isn't it?
I always enjoy the instant no. if you could domesticate any animal, like take all morals away from it, and this isn't probably ever going to happen, but if you could domesticate an animal and have a pet X.
Oh, it's a really good question, that, isn't it? So from time to time, I do think I'd quite enjoy some sort of monkey.
Oh, exactly what I was going to say. I'd have a big bonobo just
right.
walking along holding its hand. Like, lovely stuff. Lovely stuff.
Yeah.
And by domesticate, do you mean it does what you want it to do?
I mean, it's a housemate. It's a fellow creature that lives sensibly and safely inside your house and is happy.
Yeah, it's good for them.
Yes.
You know, it's not cruel and it's also safe and... You know, they're just chilling like a dog.
Let's try and get beyond monkey because I feel like that was the first thought. And I agree with you. Everyone wants a pet monkey, Dave.
Yeah.
Can I have a collective of animals?
Go on. Well, I like ants. I would like an army of ants.
Yeah, ants. I'd like a colony of ants.
Can you imagine being carried around by ants? It would just look like you were hovering.
Well, I just think they're so smart, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
They work together as this big, weird organism. And yeah, imagine that they could make you dinner.
Yeah.
They could bring your cutlery to the table.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
You've taken it in a strange direction, I'll give you that.
Small direction, but I like that. I think a colony of ants is a genius idea. Okay.
My imagination is very, from time to time, and this is one of the circumstances, quite poor, and I'm completely heavily influenced by like a thing I see on telly. So the monkey is pure like Ross from Friends vibes, you know?
I just watch it
and go, oh, I'll have a monkey. Yeah, that'd be good. And another one I'd really, really enjoy is an owl. But again, I watched a Harry Potter movie last week and I'm like, that'd be cool to have an owl, wouldn't it? I need to think a bit more outside the things I've watched on television box, I think.
I once filmed with a rhesus monkey years ago and it was fucking terrifying. It was
really?
It was pretty small and the handler turns up and the guys filming this thing were like, it's fine, it's completely domesticated, it's completely safe. And the guy went, yeah, it's completely safe, don't worry about it, it's fine, it's really nice, it's really cool. So what we have to do this bit where it's sitting on a table in a pub and we've just had this awkward thing and I just stare at it and it stares back at me. And just about to start, and literally, I swear to you, this handler who's standing at the back, he's rolling a cigarette, he went, oh, whoa, stop one second, steps forward and goes, mate, don't make eye contact. Cheers. He goes back. And I was like, well, what happens if you just see? What do you mean just see? I'm having to do this sort of weird stare, accidentally make eye contact with a monkey, the teeth come out, poor little thing. He was fucking livid, and he was sitting on a pub table and he smashed all the glasses because he got upset. It's horrible. It's awful.
That's the worst story I've ever heard. That's worse than the deer's foot.
The deer leg thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think he was quite happy with his handler. I film with animals quite a few times. You must have, Helen, as well. And it is a bit weird. The handlers are always always very nice. But you do always feel a bit awkward that these poor things are being made to do something on camera.
I don't know. I'm like, good for them getting their minute of fame.
Working more than me, love.
Yeah. I had a story about, I don't know if this is true, a children's TV show where a kid had a hamster and then the hamster needed to die. And it was like back in the day before proper health and safety stuff. Oh, and no. The hamster wouldn't stay still. So, yeah, first AD just took the hamster, twisted it in half.
Oh, my God.
Put it back in the cage.
This has been a very depressing first episode for, you know, the beginning of the week for people listening to their
podcast. That's awful. That is awful. That's been for quite sad.
I know. Yeah. I'm sure that wouldn't happen now. Isn't that good news about health and safety regulations?
Great news. Thanks for health and safety. I think I'd domesticate a cow.
Ooh, interesting.
Oh, really,
a pig. A pig.
One.
A pig.
Pigs are dead clever. Pigs are cleverer than dogs.
Yeah. I just, start with a cow and then we'll move on to a pig.
I haven't eaten cow for a while now, for about a year and a half. I've stopped eating
beef. Really?
Yeah, I stopped eating beef. And just as my sort of beginning slowly to try and veganize and vegetarianize. And they're just, it's really weird when you don't eat something anymore. And there's a load of cows in the field near my mum where I walk Polly pre-lockdown. And I'd always walk past them and ignore them. And I think I ignored them partially out of guilt. Like, I felt awkward. And then suddenly I was looking at them. It was really weird, honestly. Sort of spiritual moment of going, I don't eat you anymore. I'm standing there in my leather shoes, probably with a latte on the go. I'll drink your juice, but I won't eat you. And they're beautiful creatures, cows. They're beautiful.
Their big eyelashes.
They're so bovine, obvs, but they're just so sort of gentle.
They are very bovine.
Famously bovine. You can go pig then, Dave.
I'd like a pig, please. Okay. Just a big pig.
Yeah.
Great time. I think it'd just be a great like comedy duo pal, you know?
It was an aristocratic thing, wasn't it? As in P.G. Woodhouse novels, Pig Huey. But it was an aristocratic thing back in the 20s and 30s to have pet pigs. So let's bring it back.
That one is one that is possible, isn't it? People do still have
George
pet pigs.
George Clooney has a pet pig.
Has he?
Have I got a massive deja vu here? Have we talked about this before?
Oh, God, we probably have. This is the problem with doing a podcast that's inane nonsense every week. I've got a whole thing planned for part two of the podcast. And I've done a thing. I've even done, Oh, seriously.
Oh, my gosh, in that case, can I get some business out of the way?
Oh, this is what the whole point of the first half is. But I'm terrified that the thing we're doing in the second half we've literally done before. But anyway, go on.
Is it?
I would
Christmas
love
Zoom
it if
lunch?
That was true.
No, seriously, it is. Anyway, Helen, yeah, all the AOBs. Let's get all the things out of the way before we can get on with the podcast.
Okay, AOB number one. Mm. My mum works at a drama school and she listened to the episode where, Dave, you talked clearly, really intelligently about your headset thing. And she has now contacted a university and they are working together to order a load of headsets for the drama school so all of the drama students can be in the same room together.
The Oculus, you mean?
The Oculus.
Really? That's great.
Yeah, she said she literally, the episode ended and she was straight on the phone. So how good is that?
They're going to buy a colony of Oculi.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think it might be the future, beaming into audition rooms and stuff. So getting
that's
ahead
brilliant.
Of that curve.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
I'm thrilled
good news.
About that.
My second piece of AOB is about Conqueror.
Oh, yes.
And I've convinced myself that Tom Price is cheating.
Ah, yes. Go on.
So, I actually don't know what the numbers were, but I've sped up a bit because I've been doing my couch to 5K. And I was quite near Tom Price, like not miles behind you.
And I suddenly shot ahead.
Yeah.
Yes, I can tell you why that is.
Well, I spoke to a professor of distances.
Which professor of distances do you speak to?
I'm a professor of distances at the University of Barnsley, and there is no way it is humanly possible Tom Price added that much to his distance travelled in that amount of time.
Is that Matt?
So, no, it was a professor from the University of Barnsley. So,
is that Matt?
My case is closed.
Lengths you've gone to there. And the best thing about it is Tom basically held his hands up straight away and was like, oh yeah, I can tell you about this.
Yeah.
And you were like, nope, I'm going to prove it.
I've got you.
You're going to have all these excuses. I'm not hearing any of it. You ran or whatever about 30 miles in the space of 2 days. I'm not having it.
I can tell you what happened. I hadn't logged on for 10 days and it done that thing where it logs you out. So I logged on and it went brrr, and it added loads and loads of my runs because I'm running every other day, about 8 or 9 kilometres every other day. So that's what I'm really sorry. And I'm sort of honoured that in order to get me if you like, to secure the criminal conviction, you went to an actual professor from the University.
And I'm just glad, actually, you've not undermined the professor's expertise, because you weren't able to travel that amount of distances in that amount of time. So
no,
that is
no, I didn't go.
Know.
I didn't go full Gump. I'm just approaching Exeter now, though, which is quite exciting. Nearly at Exeter. And Helen Monks, you're still ahead of the speed car, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
The
pace setting thing.
The pace setter jobber. Where are you? You're near South Brent at the moment, near Avonwick.
Mm, beautiful.
Lovely. Beautiful part of the world. Dave, I mean, Lizzie is insane how far Lizzie's gone. She's basically in Scotland.
Yeah, she's really taken on. Do you know what I realised / discovered this week, though? Mm. Is that Lizzie, this is going to paint her in a very bad light, but she's got a Peloton, an actual Peloton.
Oh, one. My God.
What's so a Peloton? She is just.
You know, the super fancy exercise.
So,
the super fancy exercise bike with the big screen and all the classes and all that.
She does that as well, but she goes running too. So Lizzie has done this year 708 kilometres. Yeah. But then, to be fair, that's Lizzie doing absolutely full on. She's like on a different planet. But Dave Cribb, very impressed, mate. You finally got to Oxford. Lols.
Yes.
Lols. Absolute lols there. That's a joke about going to university at Oxford. Just chuck that in there.
Yes. They finally let me in.
Yeah, exactly. Wonderful stuff. See if you can stay there a bit longer this time. More lols. They're coming thick and fast. But you've done, Dave, 568 kilometres. You are 33%, which is literally a third. I don't need a professor from
that
the University
amazing.
Of Barnsley. That is amazing. That is amazing.
That is amazing.
Thanks, guys.
You're going to have to buy a house in Scotland to live in while you wait for me and Helen to catch you up for the big finish.
Yes, this is the problem, isn't it, for the big finish? But I think it's fine. We'll just wait. Who is bringing up the rear in our group?
Oh.
That is me.
No, it's not. There's someone behind you.
Oh, there's someone behind me.
Yeah, AC. AC, Andy Campbell-Smith.
Andy Campbell-Smith.
I think there's something wrong with his technology because he's only done 24 kilometres.
I don't know though, because he did write on the group saying, I ran a mile today and that's me for the next 3 weeks.
He wasn't joking.
He's just taking it very, very slowly.
The Le Jog, Dave and I are still, that is still hilarious that we call this Le Jog.
Oh my God, Le Jog. Monksy, I had to ring Tom this week.
Yeah, Dave actually called me. And whenever Dave calls me, I'm like, oh God, it's a work thing. Oh fuck, we've got to deliver a comedy sitcom for blah. But no, this was not why he called me.
I called Tom just to say that. So in the top left-hand corner, those of you doing this, I know there's a few people that listen doing this as a challenge as well now, but in the top left-hand corner it says Le Jog Virtual Fitness Challenge, right?
Oh yeah.
You see that? And me and Tom have been calling it Le Jog, like, you know, Le Run, Le Cycle, Le Walk, you know, we've been doing Le Jog. We just thought it was a strange brand name. Yeah. And then this week I realised, thanks to a tweet, I think, from Stuart or someone that's doing it, that means Land's End Jono Groats. And I just had never, it just had never clicked with me what that was.
Oh my gosh. I was reading it as Lego as well. That's how much I'd not processed it as a thing. I just thought it was Lego Virtual Fit. It was some kind of sponsor deal.
Dave and I are obsessed with this being a brand, right? Le Jog.
Yeah,
we should get it on t-shirts.
Le Jog.
Yeah, I'm off for Le Jog.
Le Jog. Seriously. Mad, isn't it? If anyone listening has got the ability to help us design some brand wear and maybe, you know, get some merch, some Cabin Fever merch called Le Jog.
Le Jog merch. Nuts.
Amazing.
It's for when I go Le Jogging. Oh yeah, nice. Le Jog's
nuts. Anyway, the final point of order with Lizzie, who's far and away ahead of us on Le Jog, is that I saw on her Instagram this week sometime, and this really shows why she's ahead of us. One of her friends had posted a story that she reposted where it became clear that Lizzie had cycled about 10K to this friend's house in order to go for a run with this friend.
Oh,
so she's cycling to go for a run and then clearly cycling home afterwards. And we just can't keep up with that, can we?
No, that's not going to happen.
No way.
No, but we can admire it. You know,
I'm happy good luck to her.
In the same way that I'll happily watch football and think I'm never going to be anywhere near as good as them. You know, I'm happy to do that with Lizzie's running. It's extraordinary.
Exactly.
Extraordinary. Okay, listen, I've got something planned for part two, but I'm pretty sure we've done it before.
I'm so excited.
I've just accidentally got something to bring up as well based on that. So let's crack on after the advertorial break.
Richard and Gretel. gonna make your lives better today
if you'll subscribe to our podcast.
You know, it's all about how to get the most out of your partner.
And we're partners.
So we know all about it.
It's good. Get it wherever you want to get it, when you go and get it from your podcast, please. Richard and Greta.
You know?
You know?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, Tom, when you said, I'm pretty sure we've done this before,
yeah.
And also when George Clooney, someone listening, will you tell us if we've talked about George Clooney having a pig? Because I'm sure.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure I've called a podcast that in the past.
Yeah, George, no, we called a witch riding a pig.
We had a witch riding a pig.
Describe the best animal. What does the UK look like?
Yeah. To describe, yeah, Great Britain. But this is amazing because now I just went onto our podcast titles.
Oh,
list.
I love that. Honestly, that tells a story in its own right.
Oh, I mean, but I cannot remember. Like, I mean, one that I do remember, but I couldn't tell you the origin was Leslie Piddington.
Oh God!
Do you remember Leslie Piddington?
I think we have to do a Cabin Fever quiz. Let's say this is a thing, and we'll just go through all the titles and try and remember the actual content.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I want to do at some point because some of these are
Leslie Piddington.
Baffling.
Leslie Piddington.
Wasn't Leslie
that
Piddington
was from
Monopoly.
Monopoly. Yeah, it was a.
Yes, it was.
Was she a witch? And it was a version of Paddington Station, but then it turned out Paddington wasn't on the board or something.
Leslie Piddington. Platform 8 at Leslie Piddington. Oh my God. We should do that. We should totally do that.
We've got one called Lindsay Russell and the Pig Saga when we had Blue Peter's Lindsay Russell on. Was there a pig incident there?
Oh yeah, God, pigs have really struck a chord with our brains.
A witch riding a pig.
Witch riding
I wonder
a
how
pig.
Many times the word pig out to, that's it. It's not great. Oh God. Lego, we'll do that at some point.
We'll do that at some point.
Cornelius and his fat neck is one.
All right, so having a quick look at the Twitters, not much has been going on our Twitter this week. Pablo's been on, wanting us to plug stuff. He does a Pablo's Vault of Horror, music, news, reviews, and the occasional interview from the wonderful world of horror on novaradio.co.uk.
There's a plug for you, mate.
There you go. Also, lovely video of the snow. Enjoying the snow at the moment, which reminds me of my favourite snow story, and I don't know if I've ever told this before. Have I told you my... When I decided to tread in snow story, have I told you this?
No.
So it was a couple of years ago when we last had snow and I was doing my breakfast show and I got up and it was that sort of dark because it hadn't even begun to get daylight at like 5 o'clock in the morning. But the sky had that kind of bruised yellowy, it may have been a moonlit night, but it felt very sort of atmospheric. And it was after all the snow had gone, but I saw one big pile of snow in the middle of the road right by the taxi. And I thought in the half light, I just wanted to have the feeling of snow. You know, the feeling of snow crunching under your foot.
Yeah.
You know, that lovely feeling.
Lovely feeling.
It is. And I thought, gosh, this will be, I think it must have been February, March time that we had it. I thought, I'm not going to get that again until much later in the year or whenever. So I thought I'd go and stand in the snow and just have that crunch before I went about my day. Mm. And so I walked over to this little tiny pile of snow, went to stand in it. And it was a used nappy that someone had thrown in the road.
And did it crunch?
Yeah, it exploded. Shit everywhere. It's a used nappy. So.
Oh, this has been a grim episode.
So
many visuals.
Magical moment. Hello also to Christoph on Twitter, who's been watching my homeschooling videos on Insta. Thank you, Christoph. for watching those. The real treat, he says, is that the reverse angle makes the clock look like time is going backwards, which is what it feels like when you're doing homeschooling. Let me tell you, my friend, let me tell you. And also, Gary's been on, says, covering Leamington FC on this week's Cabin Fever podcast at the base of One of the World. What? Can anyone explain what Gary's on about?
I saw that tweet and I did not understand almost anything about it.
Do you think he thinks we're a different show?
Was it Gary? I thought that was Paul.
No, Gary says, his name's Gary, but then his at is Call Me Uncle Paul on Twitter. Right. Covering Leamington FC on this week's Cabin Fever at the base of One of the World. Doesn't really make covering, a massive amount of sense.
Covering Leamington
FC. Has he tagged the wrong person?
I think he's tagged the wrong show because he's managed to put Cabin FE 837090000, famously our Twitter address, our Twitter phone number. But when have we ever had anyone on the show covering Leamington FC? I mean, to be honest, Dave, if anyone does want to drop in and do a kind of full football update or any sport update, then we're up for that, right?
Yeah, I'm looking now. So this is Call Me Uncle Paul. I see what's happened here. This is a parody account of Paul, who is one of our listeners.
Right.
I can't work it out, mate. I can't work it out.
Okay.
Paul, what's going on, mate?
Yeah, explain that, please. And then, so the final thing. So now, this is my deja vu thing. I think we might have done this before, but I'm currently in charge of the PTA quiz, which we're doing on Zoom next week, right?
Okay.
And I've come up with a round.
Okay.
Pretty pleased with the round. Yeah, pretty pleased with the round. It is, because they've gone for a theme of TV quiz shows. So what I've done is I've got a round called Strictly Dad Dancing, where I've got a load of dads to video themselves doing iconic, recognisable dances.
Right.
Okay, like Gangnam Style, for example.
Fine.
Or La Macarena. And then I whip out the audio and I put in the audio of a famous TV quiz show and you have to guess the dance. You have to work out the quiz show, right?
That's excellent.
Thank
what
you.
A format.
Thank you. I was
You're
quite
like Richard Osman.
Yeah, I am. Very, that very, is, very.
I'd say convoluted, but good.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on there, isn't there?
I'll always take convoluted, but good.
Yeah.
So anyway, as a consequence of doing that, as a side effect, I've got a load of audio of TV quiz theme tunes.
Oh, great. Oh, I see. Quiz themes is what you've put on them.
Mm.
Oh, I thought you meant just like clips from a quiz show. I thought that is weird.
No. The theme tune, the music, quiz music.
Fine. That makes loads more sense.
It's less convoluted there. So I don't want you to feel like, you know, you're eating the scraps from the main table of the PTA school quiz here on Cabin Fever, but you very much are. Basically, I'm going through my audio bins. Would you like to have a rummage?
Yeah, you might find some bread in there, Helen.
Exactly. You go, you see? So I'm going to put...
Oh, yeah. They've actually stopped putting the bread outside. It's been a disaster. But anyway,
you've done news and you didn't tell us that.
I know. I'm in denial about it. I'm still going every night, looking through all of the bins, finding no bread. I'll keep you updated. Anyway, sorry, Tom. Go on.
No. I'm just... Yeah. I wonder if the person at Gail's Bakery is a listener to Cabin Fever and they know what you've been up to. They're cutting you off. That's miserable, isn't it?
I should never have gone public. It was just, that was my own fault.
Exactly. When you've got a scam going, never tell anyone. All right, so I'm going to play you some theme tunes. You have to tell me, right, the TV show that they're from. Should we start with something easy?
Yep.
Okay, here we go.
Buzzer!
Yes, Helen Monk's Barnsley University. We are now. I didn't know we were, but we are now.
Oh, sorry. University Challenge.
Yes.
Very good.
I mean, should we just enjoy the music? Because it's a great piece of music.
Great theme.
Yeah. Isn't it really good? Anyway, there we are. University Challenge theme tune. Okay. 1-0 to Helen Monk's.
Are we buzzering or are we waiting?
We're now buzzering. Fine. Yeah, here we go.
Buzzer!
Oh, Monk's Barnsley again. Oh,
what? I shouted buzzer.
Pointless.
Correct, that is. Pointless. 2-0. And there's only three left, Dave.
This is good.
I'm making up for the math quiz.
Okay, all right. Here we go. The next one is easy. Right.
Is
buzzer.
Oh, Crib Nottingham.
Took ages to get to the actual theme tune.
It does take a while. I'll edit that out when I do the video.
Question of sport, isn't it?
Yes, it is a question of sport. Very good. 2-1.
Do you know what? Sport theme tunes are tricky for me because I think they're all Grandstand or Wimbledon, and then you know, I just they're all in my head the same.
Well, you know, the Wimbledon theme tune is my favourite because I do a bit on my radio show when I do a sports update with the Wimbledon music, I just sing the word sport.
Sport.
And then I give one football result, then I sing sport, then I play a Phil Collins song.
Is that the whole feature?
Yeah. Sport. Fulham drew with Tottenham. Sport. That's it. Okay, all right. So 2-1 to Helen Monks at the moment, going into the last two questions here. Oh, hang on. Wait there. Let me just make sure I've got the right one. Right. Okay, here we go.
I mean, I know it.
Were you buzzing or not? Were you talking?
It's one of the old ones, isn't it?
This is the problem. It's an age
blockbuster.
Oh, look at this! Very good. Yes. Blockbusters.
I know the theme, but
it's a classic thinking. But was Blockbusters like? Choosing letters gonna get across the board, Bob Holness.
I don't think I've ever watched a episode of Blockbusters, but I know the like all the funny jokes from it. To give me a pee, which is basically the only one, isn't it?
Give me a pee, Bob. Also, my wife went to university with Matt Holness, famous comedy actor. Well, maybe not that famous anymore, but he certainly was. Have I been harsh about Matt Holness? Anyway, and she asked him, the first question she ever asked him was, are you Bob Holness's son? And he never spoke to her again. So.
Really?
Yeah. Complete arsehole.
Is he?
No, he's not. A reasonable question. But he was busy mates with Richard Iowadi, and what happened to him? Okay. So we're going to, it's 2-2, guys. It's 2-2.
This is so tense.
It is tense. The last one, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be an age issue here because this. Bearing in mind, this is for you know, people doing the quiz. They've all got kids who are like 7, 8, 9, 10. They're all a little bit older than you guys. They're like mid-40s. Yeah. So, you know, no one's going to blame you if you don't get it right. However, there is a big clue very much in the lyrics.
Oh,
buzz.
Crib was definitely first there, too bad.
Everyone's trying to be the best they can when they... Oh, I thought I was going for it then. Dave got in just first, Helen. Soz.
Going for gold.
Going for the weakest link. Yes, well done.
I would not have got that if it was an instrumental in a million years.
No.
It was literally
So what was it?
Oh, we'll play it again. Any excuse to play it again. I love playing this. Right, here we go. Time is right. It's time for you. Everyone's trying to be the best that they can. Here's your host, Henry Kelly.
Again, a show I have never watched a single.
Yeah.
Wait, so what was it?
It was a show. Well, Dave, you go on. Do you want to say the answer? Because you did, to be fair.
It's going for gold, Helen. I'm thrilled with my comeback there. You know, I was genuinely quite tense.
Oh, that was awful.
Do you know, this is a great quiz question, though, to finish off the... Mm-hmm. The Doofer podcast. That's what we're doing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Welcome.
Who wrote the theme tune to Going for Gold?
Celine Dion.
Brian Adams.
It's kind of as mad as if Celine Dion had written it.
Kylie Minogue.
Aretha Franklin.
No.
Nina Simone.
Do you want to play some sort of like yes or no game?
Yeah. So what's the question
are
again?
Are they a man?
Who wrote the theme tune to which song again?
Going for Gold.
For that one? How do you know this?
I just Googled it.
Oh, right. Okay.
I was just Googling the show because I couldn't tell you what happens in Going for Gold. Do you know what I mean? So I was trying to remind myself if I'd seen it.
Yeah.
And the Wikipedia threw up the most bad... So don't look.
Okay.
Should we do 10 questions?
Incredible answer to who wrote the theme tune for Going for Gold.
Let's do 10 questions. We've got to. Okay.
Speed version of 20 questions.
You're trying to verify it because it sounds so mad.
Can I just ask us a this isn't included within my 10 questions. Will we definitely have heard of them?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Mm.
Wow. Okay. All right, over to you. You go first, Helen.
Are they a man?
Yes.
Are they known for being a singer?
No.
Ooh. Okay.
Are they known for being a politician?
No. Oh, you've gone too far.
Are they known for being a TV presenter?
No. Oh, bugger. I think are they known is really tricky because what they're very much known for is writing music, which is...
Oh, hang on. Oh, okay, okay. Go on. I think I might... I know it.
Is it Bob Geldof?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to go. Yeah, what man who writes music was obviously Bob Geldof.
Yeah. That's the first on the spring to mind,
first port
it?
Of call. Give me an example of someone who writes music. Geldof. Sold.
Geldof straight away.
Is it Bob Geldof?
It's not Bob Geldof. No, it's not.
Is it a man whose name is remarkably close to mine?
No. No.
Do you know who I'm getting at there, Dave?
I think so, but if I'm correct, he's a lyricist.
Oh, shit, he's a lyricist, isn't he? Well, someone wrote the lyrics on Going for Gold. Tim Rice is who I meant there. It's not Tim Rice. Is it so...
Unbelievably, he's an Oscar winner.
Oh, my God, it's not Thingy Williams. Oh, sorry, go on, Helen, it's your go.
Is it John Williams?
It's not.
Oh.
But it's basically the other one.
Oh, how Hank, oh, Harry it, Potter man, Hank Zimmer.
Hans Zimmer.
Hans, what?
Hank.
Great Hank Zimmering. That's I really enjoyed that. Let's call him Hank Zimmer.
Hank Zimmer will do. So Hans Zimmer
Hans
is in...
Hans Zimmer doomed. Off of, you know, Gladiator, the Blade Runner, new one, Inception, you know, all the biggies, yeah. Pirates of the Caribbean, The Lion King, all of the biggies, wrote the theme tune to Going for Gold, according to the internet. And this is
great.
Absolutely.
He peaked early, didn't he?
Yeah, which he composed with Sandy McClelland in 1987.
No, with Sandy McClelland. Whoa. That's
don't
wild.
Don't bullshit me, Monk. Sandy McClelland, God rest his or her soul. I mean, they might even be dead. But they don't even have a clickable link on Wikipedia. So I can imagine co-writing Going for Gold with Hans Zimmer is probably up there.
They retired after that. So they didn't need to.
Well, yeah. Out. Well, very much. Hans Zimmer says, Going for Gold, I'm not ashamed of it. It paid the rent.
Well,
bet
yeah,
it did, mate. Bet right, it bloody so. Did.
Yeah.
That is wild, though, isn't it? Hans Zimmer wrote the theme tune for Going for Gold.
I don't want to blow our own trumpet. What a show.
What a show.
Absolutely, you know, just perfect textbook cabin fevering today.
You cannot get another podcast where you take the journey from deer's legs... to Hans Zimmer.
Hank Zimmer. Via Hank Zimmer.
Via Hank Zimmer.
Can you please call the episode that from Deer's Legs to Hans Zimmer? That's great. Yeah. right, AOB.
Naob from me.
Naob
oh, I do have actual
bit
of news, but it's too long. Let's not do it now. But I'm going to volunteer the vaccines.
Oh, save that for next week. I want to hear about that. Let's do a good...
It'd be good, actually, because all I've done so far is... be accepted for it, and I've not actually done it yet. So by the time we meet next week, I'll have volunteered at the vaccines.
Oh, good luck.
Oh, wow,
that's
great
exciting.
News. Great news.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's see how that goes, eh?
Crib's going to be a jabber. See you next
week,
then.
Oh, he's not jabbing anything, mate. I'm terrified of needles.
Oh, really? Have you told them that? So what will you do? Just sort of help out with clipboards and stuff?
Yeah, I'm just going to just sort of wander around and make everyone feel happy, I think.
Oh.
Very much like this podcast.
You'll be good at that, yeah.
Well done. Oh, I'm glad this podcast has warmed you up nicely for doing that, Dave. That's great.
Exactly. Yeah, absolute nonsense. I'm going to, honestly, the sort of age range of the people getting the vaccine at the moment.
Yeah.
Good morning, sir or madam. How are you? Quick one. Do you know who composed the theme tune to Going for Gold? Let's talk on the walk to your jab. And
also,
they will love it.
Dave, if you are there sort of guiding people in, you know, you've got a high-vis jacket on and you want a really good way to point people in the right direction, just use a deer's leg. Really? That way, Really keep them on their toes. All right, thanks for coming, everyone. See you next
week.
Bye.
Bye. Cabin FE83709. Oh, 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 Cabin FE83709. Oh, 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 Cabin
FE83709. Oh, 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 that's our Twitter name. I'm a professor of distances at the University of Barnsley, and there is no way it is humanly possible Tom Price added that much to his distance travelled in that amount of time. GreatBigOwl.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.